everyone, welcome to the Design Hack podcast. Today we have Benjamin with us, and he is a mural experience designer at Mural. Thank you so much, Benjamin, for coming in, man.
Thank you, Abe, for inviting me for this podcast. I'm super happy to be here, and let's get started.
Perfect. So to start, I just want to go through a little bit about your introduction. Like, we'll give you the podium, you introduce yourself, and I just want to know why design, like why did the design come into your life?
I will probably develop later on my career change. That was the main thing that happened recently and that brought me into design, I would say. But probably since I was a kid, I was always enjoying what is related to design, whether it is creating with your hands, whether it is like design of furnitures, of cars, or digital design, all that things always attracting for me. But, you know, I will explain it on my life. Didn't bring me to design until the last, I will say, 2 or 3 years. So yeah, I think it's something from the childhood, but I never explored it so far professionally before. And I finally took the opportunity to do this, and here I am. And I think it was the best career change so far. So yeah.
Sounds great. So I know that you started your journey in, I think, management, and then you kind of slowly transitioned into design. So I just want to go deep into that. How did that happen? What did you study? How that transition happened?
Actually, I went a few years to university, but I never finished any degree. I was not enjoying what I was doing, and I wanted to work early and fast, kind of. So I went to some working in a restaurant, in a shop management, and that kind of stuff. And I did this for, I think, 10 or 12 years, but I was not really enjoying, you know, but I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So, I mean, I could pay the bill, I could travel, buy food, so it was okay. And I think it's 3 years ago, I really wanted, my first objective was to start finding a way to make money online, you know, but as everyone, I was like, let's YouTube it, how to make money online. That was really it. And if it's okay, I'm just going to move a bit while we are talking. Sorry for the video change. And so that's what happened. And I Googled this and I started to see, like, you can make a t-shirt design, for example. And I was like, whoa, this is a big thing, but it sounds fun. I can get the chance to design and to sell my creation. And there is a lot of tutorial. And I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. I started with this. So I started watching videos about how I could do this transition. I had some time, I had a computer, and, you know, let's just try. So I took some online free lesson to learn how to, the basic of design, how to create, you know, like typo, like a crop image, and really the basics of web design, I would say digital design, graphic design, that kind of stuff. And I started to make my first online shop. I had to learn how to make an Instagram account to try to sell my creation, you know, like to connect with the client, all that kind of stuff. So I did this maybe for a few months. I think at the end, I just sold maybe like 5 t-shirts or something like this. But, you know, you are still proud because you could sell something that you created. So I was like, okay, this is cool, but I'm not going to make a living like this. So after this, I explored a bit dropshipping, which brought me into like creating a Shopify store, which is not exactly web design, but it's a little step further, you know. Experimented with this, and also it was a failure. And then I was like, okay, but maybe I should try. There's this new cool tool called Figma. And maybe it's free and I should try to learn it. Like, maybe there's more possibility with this. So little by little, I started to get into Figma because I tried to design my Shopify store. And then I went into this Figma thing and I was like, yeah, let's just explore. And this was, I think, the turning point because I started to make some design for website for friends. You know, you start for free at the beginning, of course, because you have no choice. You have no degree, no experience. And I started like this. And yeah, little by little, it took me maybe 6 months or a year almost, and I started to get some paid clients. So at the beginning, it's like super low because, you know, just started, you don't know what's your price and everything. And yeah, that built a bit the confidence, like, okay, I can maybe design a website, I can sell it. Maybe there's something to do. So that's how it all started, I would say. So many design things related, like all combined, no structure, you know, like graphic design, digital design, whatever, and that website. Basically on Figma, so I was really focusing on the design and the prototyping part, not the WordPress part. I don't like. And yeah, that's how the journey started. And do you want me to go until now, or maybe we keep this for later, or what do you think?
The design part?
Yeah, I mean web design, but now I'm, you know, I'm a mural experience designer, which is something different.
I'm coming to that. So I just want to
No
know a
problem.
little bit about the, I think you worked in Japan, right? So I just want to know about that part because I know Japan has a very kind of history in terms of design, and a lot of designers kind of follow their structure, and that's how a lot of things came from. So I want to ask, how was your experience over there of working? And
Well, so in this, in Japan, I went there like when I turned 30, and I stayed basically 3 years. That's where I did my career change as well. But actually, it was because it was hard to find a job in Japan if you don't speak Japanese also. So that was the opportunity to work online, you know, with English client or French client. I don't know how it influenced my design journey to be in Japan. Clearly, the necessity of I cannot work if I don't speak Japanese, so I need to work online. What is inspiring there is the architecture, food, lifestyle. There are a lot on Instagram in Japan. They like the beautiful things on one hand, so I would say this was inspiring overall. But if you see their product, the design sometimes of the daily things, I don't know. Sometimes it's a bit old style. We had, you know, I'm not sure if the UX UI was really like pushed far. I don't know. It was quite interesting trip in Japan, but I didn't really work for a Japanese client there. It was mainly like European American client online. So yeah, I didn't really get the chance to work with Japanese company to see how is their approach of design. Yeah.
Okay, interesting, interesting. So now let's go to the fact that you were trying to convey about what really. So firstly, I just want the audience to know that what really is a mural experience designer. So can you shed a light on?
So actually, this is a new title that Mural created for me, so I feel a kind of honored and proud. But basically, what I'm doing is that I'm designing workshop, so remote workshop. I don't know if you know Mural; it's an online digital whiteboard that people use to collaborate. So many companies are using this either for meeting, for design sprint, for brainstorm, any kind of workshop or online collaboration activity, and it allows you to visually, you know, make the exercise, put inspiration, do whatever you want with stickies. So that's the tool, and I was using this tool for my freelance work before joining Mural, actually. So the web design brought me into design sprint. I don't know if you know this methodology. It's a 5 day process where you go from an idea to a tested prototype on users. So it's related to web design, whatever. And I tried this during the beginning of Corona, actually. And I saw an opportunity because I was already into design. I was into remote work, and this thing was like, I think there is a big thing with Mural, and as everyone was going to go remote. So I tried to apply design skills like you have in web design or graphic design into remote workshop, actually. So I started designing workshop like a bit better, like just stickies. You know, I was like adding, I don't know, like icon, picture, colors, whatever to make it a bit more maybe beautiful, more easy to use and to understand the flow of the workshop, like you would do for any digital product, I would say. And I was one of the first on this niche. Upcoming niche, I would say. So I got lucky. I started to get freelance work to facilitate workshop or to design workshop, actually. And that was a game changer because the price are not the same as web design, I would say, much better. And yeah, also I was one of the first on this new niche. So overall, I got lucky. And Mural saw my LinkedIn post about my work or designing workshop, and they contacted me to join the company. And here I am, like 3 months already in the company. It's great. And so yeah.
Got it, got it. So, you have worked a lot remote, right? As of my knowledge. So, just can you kind of give a difference? What do you feel, is working remotely as a designer, and if you are like stick somewhere at a particular company working 8 to 9? So, yeah.
So you mean what kind of best practice I could see about remote work for designers? Well, so in my company, it's a good example, but also when I was freelancing, because I was only working remotely, I would say using a lot of tools like Figma, when you can share what you are working on with your clients or the developer or whatever, using a lot of these tools, using a way to communicate async, like, you know, Slack, for example. You can have Slack workspace with many people for each project, or depends of the client. Some people prefer WhatsApp or whatever for feedback. I would say it's really important to have the communication well set, like for the feedback, especially because, you know, when you are designing, you don't want to wait 1 week for feedback and then you work and you lose time, you know, that kind of things. It can be really terrible remotely also, because like people are just like, I don't know, I will check later. And so I think it's one important thing was about this. And in advance, when you are working on a new project, it's really getting alignment with your client at the beginning and do that pre-work, like kickoff meeting with them, show what you have in mind, what you can do, align on everything at the beginning, so you don't waste too much time later on the process, how to provide feedback and that kind of things. So I would say remote was a good opportunity, and I think we can do a lot of things remotely, but just you need to be really organized, prepare, think in advance, and like do this extra work for the client sometimes that they are not used to remote yet, or, you know, as a designer, it's changing, so. Okay. I would say use a lot of communication, async, sync, think about the tools and prepare in advance with your client to have the kind of best experience for the design. Yeah.
So now you work with a team, right?
So now I work with the team, yeah, and I still have some freelance gigs. But yeah, with my team, it's the same. We are between like San Francisco to Australia. I'm in France, like everywhere in the world. So it's hard to have a sync team meeting. So sometimes like 5 a.m., 3 p.m., whatever. So it's a bit hard. But we managed to work together on project, you know, once again, using Slack, some Zoom call here and there with people. And I think you need to trust each other to know that they are professionals, kind of. So, okay, if you ask things to do tasks, they will do it. You know, it's not like when you're freelancing, you are not sure about everything, everyone, because of course it's freelance, it's a different world. But yeah, I can feel the level up, I would say, in skills in the team. And so, yeah, everyone is trying to push each other forward. And yeah. So far, it's been great as a remote journey, I would say, in the company.
Perfect. So I know that right now you are doing like a workshop or like kind of designing workshop and into remote workshops. So I just want to know, is there anything like in your journey that kind of motivated you towards this particular genre? Because it's very specific. Like, I have never heard of anyone being this particular designer. So anything in your journey that drived you towards this? And can you just more shed light, like, you told me about you kind of design these things. So what does that really does in the market?
Yeah. Well, so I guess there are two things. The first thing is on my learning journey about how to make money online. You know, there's a lot of things around. You have to find a niche. You have to be like a bit specific on your audience for social media, whatever. So this was always in my mind. And I couldn't really leverage this thing until now. But when I saw this new opportunity with Corona Remote Design Workshop, I was like, okay, there is really something. It's quite narrow, but there is a chance, I guess. And I tested, and I could see that people were like enjoying little by little. So I really thought, okay, I slowly turned between web design to workshop design. At some point, I was doing both, like making website for client and starting to design workshop. And then, I don't know, I really could see there is something to do. And so I went into this further, and now it's my main business for my company and my freelance work. And I think, yeah, there's a niche. I don't know if the niche is big, but there's a niche. That's one thing. And the second thing is just like people are a bit bored to collaborate on like Google, Excel, spreadsheet, whatever. They want something more fun, more engaging, you know, like you can have like gamification or whatever. And Mural, yeah, allows you to be quite creative on the things that you want to make for your client, for the people following the workshop. And usually, yeah, the engagement is much higher after this because, you know, it's not just a nice visual, but there's a story. You try to work on the storytelling of a workshop or a meeting or anything. And yeah, I guess people were looking for this because they were tired to be like just Zoom meeting and like collaboration on, yeah, Excel. That's really the thing. So they wanted to see something more engaging. And these people, usually they are executives, they are leaders, they are like whatever, they are not designers. So they are not used to that kind of thing. And so, yeah, when you bring this kind of magic to them, they are really happy to see this. I think it's just the opportunity and the need of the people.
Perfect. So I just want to ask another thing that you mentioned in your, I think, LinkedIn somewhere, like it's that you are a user collaboration designer, something related to that. So
yeah, something like this. Yeah.
So yeah, something. So what is it really?
So it's about, you know, the UX, UI things in web design, product design. So you really focus on the user's experience on your product because it's really important. You know, if it's designed for you, not for them, they will not use it and that kind of things. And it's really the same for workshop. Like some people, maybe they would make a very nice workshop, but then if you are not a pro user, if you are not a designer or anything, you will not understand the flow like on any app or website. And then you get lost, you are not into the experience of the workshop. And so I think it's really important to design this so that every user really experiences the same thing during this session, because usually you have like 10, 20 people at the same time, you know. And so you want to kind of create the same experience for everyone. They don't have the same level of using the tools, for example, maybe, but you want to make it like seamless for everyone. So it's really about this, like trying to understand your users, the participants of the workshop, how they are with the digital product, how they feel, and try to understand what their pain point during the workshop. So maybe you can make a video to explain how to do something, or you can make an exercise, more instruction, more visually, anything. So you really try to make this experience easier for them, because you want everyone to be into the ship during the workshops. If you lose participants, then it's not, I think, a successful workshop. This is one thing. And of course, you need to reach the outcome of the workshop, like people want to do something. And so you need to bring them up to this goal through your workshop. So yeah, it's really like the UX UI in web design, but applied to workshop, I would say.
That's interesting. That's something new that that I'm hearing, because workshop is something that we don't really see getting more conversion friendly or like designing it's nicely. But yeah, I got it. Like, this is something new and might become up in the future, like a big opportunity for a lot of designers as well. So we are at the end of the podcast, but I really want to ask one special question that I really ask with every guest who comes in. So what would be the two pieces of advice which you would give out to the audience who are listening or watching this, wherever, which are coming from your whole journey which you have gone through?
So do you mean about the more design journey, or like overall, like freelance journey?
Can be overall.
So I would say really the hardest part maybe is to overcome the fear of changing. If you are changing career, you really need to try to test out things and to be okay with the feedback, or sometimes even no feedback, because, you know, when you start, for example, on social media, maybe people will just don't say anything, don't watch it. So you should not be so scared about posting anything in the end, because people will not judge you. They will probably just don't see it at the beginning. So I think social media is really a great opportunity to start your business, even in design nowadays, because that's how I got my client as freelancer, for example. I was posting a lot. They could see my work, and then they contact me, like you could do on Dribbble or Instagram or anything. That's one big thing I would say. Use social media for your business, because otherwise people will never see your job. And even if you're a great designer, if no one sees it, well, you will not get any client, or you have to find a company. And in that case, it's different. That's probably one thing. Yeah, just experiment, learn, try to learn from everyone, be humble. And that's the basic, I would say, advice that you can hear everywhere. But really, that's what changed for me. So I just started to say, okay, in the end, maybe I don't know a lot. I have to learn again new stuff. I have to listen what's going on and to try to put myself a bit in trouble. You know, social media, the first time you're like super afraid, and then you're like, in the end, it's not so hard. What is hard is the first step. So I would say try to take this first step. Of course, improve your design skills, but yeah, share with everyone, try to meet communities, be in contact with potential client, and discover little by little what you can do. Maybe there is one thing also about free and paid work, because this is a big topic usually. I would say probably at the beginning you should take free work, because yeah, you don't have anything for you at the beginning, so you should take some free work to make your portfolio, you know. And once you start to know what you can do, what can be your rate, then you should start to ask money. Some people say you shouldn't, but maybe that's a step further to get more client at the beginning and can help you for later on. If you have a portfolio with real project, it's always better than just things that you created during your studies or whatever, I would say. Yeah, in a few words, that would be the advice. Experiment social media, don't be afraid of failing, and yeah, that's what I would say to.
I think this is something that everyone should take out of this podcast, that experimenting is very important. And and I also believe that like volunteering for some work which might help you to make your portfolio is important, because in the starting you know that you know the skills, but you need to test it out in the market, right? And what's the best way? So yeah, I think that is something that you can go forward with. So yeah, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for Benjamin for coming in, man, and giving your time, pouring out the knowledge that you have, and showing your journey to the audience. Thank you everyone for watching in wherever you are. If you want to connect to Benjamin, I will link his socials down below. You can connect with him and ask him if you have any questions and stuff. So thank you so much, guys. See you in the next.